right now, however, all the way from London. Here's Pam Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent.
Good.
How are things down in London? Still cold, still snowy.
Yeah, an unbelievable winter we've been having. The worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this is, we were talking to one of my city councilors just a while ago about shovel fairness and making sure, you know, the people who can't get their driveway clean for whatever reason, get it cleaned by the proper people and people who are abusing it. But it's an issue because we've had snow for so long and it's been cold for so long. We haven't had any melts. It's starting to get to us. We're I'm a guy who likes winter and it's starting to get to me a bit.
Well, I'm a summer person, so I can't wait to get back on the golf course and the tennis courts, you know, outdoors.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, today, the reason why we're going early, you've got to give a speech today. You're talking to
a group of women in Woodstock, some farmers who have asked me to come and speak this afternoon, and it's on one of my favorite subjects, which is the dirty little secrets of big food. And so the farmers are asking me, I've spoken for several farmers groups, and farmers are asking me to speak because so many of them are fed up with consumers being duped, and they want to know what to say to consumers to better educate them about the importance of returning to the ancestral foods and everything we usually talk about on the show. And, you know, they are the ones that are producing this wonderful food, this wonderful nutrient-dense foods. And yet they see that so many people are still buying so much food in the middle aisles of a grocery store. And that is obviously contributing to this healthcare crisis that we see today. So farmers want to get more and more involved with educating their customers.
And one of the things, I mean, the food originally has to come from somewhere. Like the farmers produce the food in its unadulterated state. But then but when it gets to us, I mean, you can go and we've talked about this, and you are a big advocate of get to know your farmer. Go get to know your farmer. And you can buy a lot of cases. Now, it may not be as common as, but you can go and buy directly from them. Direct from them. You can get your produce. You can get your meat. You can get your milk. You can go and talk and then cut out the middleman, and therefore, you know, you're cutting out all the processing that goes with it.
Well, and if you look at the processing, of course, and all the different ingredients that can go into processed foods, if you look at where those foods were produced, they could have been produced as far away as China, for example. So the whole idea of local, sustainable, supporting your local economy, none of those concepts will play into the role of buying that type of food. So when you do exactly what you just said, Tom, and you get to know your local farmers, and you go out and you make sure that the chickens are outside, the pigs are outside, you know, you want to make sure it's a sustainable mixed farm, then you're having the gold standard. Then you can actually buy the medicine that your family needs, because this is the food that is your medicine.
How do you, I mean, obviously farmers, and because we've seen, and maybe no coincidence though, that the majority of our society 100 years ago lived on a farm or close to a farm. And a couple hundred years ago, the vast majority of us were connected to a farm. And that's, you know, we're connected to our food source so well, and now we've become disconnected from our food source. Do you think there's anything there in terms of our disconnect from our food source and our choice of foods, that as we become more and more steps away from where our food comes from, we've made more and more poor?
Absolutely devastating. When you look at primitive cultures, then you see this tribal culture, for example, where, or small villages where the seniors in the society, the grandparents, the great-grandparents, they were in charge of educating their grandchildren or great-grandchildren about the wisdom of nutrition and how it relates to health. And now today, unfortunately, our seniors are so sick that they don't have the energy or the wherewithal to do that role in society. That role has been taken away from them. And on top of that, we have so much nutritional misinformation that if they did try to educate their grandchildren about nutrition, they would be giving them, in all likelihood, the wrong information. There's a really good chance of that. So at any rate, so we are so detached from nutritional wisdom today that it is backfiring us on many, many different levels, simply because the information isn't there. And if the information is there, it's the incorrect information.
What about people who are concerned that, listen, I am, I got kids, I'm busy, I have a job, I don't have time to go out to a farm. There's no way I'm going to drive way out into the country. And I mean, we have dairy farms, and we have guys who are producing beef and guys who are producing pork, and that's different from a produce farm. I got to, you know what, this is why we came up with supermarkets. I can just go one-stop shopping. How do you alleviate their concerns that it is too time-consuming?
Well, it takes a lot of time to be sick, and it's pretty expensive to be sick because you can lose your income. right? So we have to put things into perspective here. You know, people are spending a lot of money on their iPads or iPods or whatever they're spending in terms of all of these luxury items, if you will. And, you know, we're not spending the money where we need to be spending the money, which is on nutrition. And so I think we have to get our priorities straight. And I think we have to basically do our utmost. I mean, Tom, imagine when we were hunter-gatherers, how much time we spent looking for our kill, right? And today,
well, that was the day.
20 minutes going to a grocery store.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I need to earn my, I mean, we're not in a primitive society anymore. We're not in a subsistence economy where I have to do basically scratch together everything of my living. I go to a job, I earn money, I exchange that money for goods that I need, chief of which is food. Mm-hmm. But is it much of a, do you think it's much of an upfront investment in terms of what people lack these days is certainly time.
Mm-hmm. But if they spend a little time to look for the cooperatives, to look for the farms, you know, to look for the resources that are carrying the local foods, it just takes a little bit of upfront time to find the resources that are local to you. But then when you find the resources, then it's very similar to going to a grocery store. You just have to find the correct markets where the vendors are there and they're the actual producers of the food. Sometimes that's as simple as it can be.
Now, in London, we have a farmer's market down here. When we are in a food zone, as you know, I mean, there are farmer's markets everywhere. And in London, of course, you have the history of the Covent Garden market. Is a farmer's market, if they have a variety of retailers, is that good enough?
It can be, but you have to still do your due diligence. You have to ask questions because the vendor may not be the producer, and the vendor may be somebody who's simply gone to a food depot at 4 o'clock in the morning and picked up a whole bunch of food to sell at the market.
Okay.
So they may not know a lot about the production of that particular food that they're selling. So you still want to do a little bit of digging. It's these really rustic farmers markets, I think, that you can go to where you can actually meet the farmers who are producing the food. Those are the really, I think, the high-end farmers markets. The more commercial farmers markets, it's a little touch and go. I do admit that.
All right. Yeah. Well, and you bring up a good point, because just because it's a farmer's market, it's no guarantee that that's the farmer at the market. That you also have to make sure.
They may not have the education about how that food was produced, right? So, and that's what a lot of people are looking for, especially when it comes to their meats and dairy and so on. We are kind of fortunate here. If people can't get farm fresh raw dairy, which is the gold standard, and there are ways to get farm fresh raw dairy here in southern Ontario, but if people can't get that gold standard, we have some pretty good producers. The Organic Meadows, the Harmony products that you can get in the health food store, these are from sources where I know, because I know these sources, those animals are outside on grass. So those are really, for a commercial product, they're pretty good quality.
Yeah, so when you see, if it's Johnson, let's say just the Johnson Farm, and, you know, hey, right from the Johnson Farm, I'm John Johnson, you'd be like, well, that's pretty good. At least that's it. But a lot of people, it's like, oh, well, maybe are you the producer or are you not? When we come back, why don't we talk about more of the dirty little lies that food companies, because you're talking to a group of farmers today, and they're the ultimate food producers in our society. However, we rely on supermarkets and we rely on producers and processors. They got to take the ingredients and make it into what we eat. So can we talk a little bit more about that when we get back?
That'd be great. Perfect.
All right. Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us from London, Ontario. This is News Talk 610 CKTB. Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant from London, Ontario, joining us. Pam, I got a question via text. Going back to the farmers, what worries me is how do we know what the farmers are putting on their vegetables and what are they feeding the cows and pigs?
Right. And so this is why so many new farmers, progressive farmers, are out there catering to the consumer. So you can actually find these farmers and they openly welcome you to the farm. So you can see the type of agriculture that they're producing. So you can't do this, of course, with the multinational corporations. I mean, everything is all cloak and dagger with them. And the second you get near any of their production facilities, of course, you get knocked out by the smells coming from them. So you know there's something terribly wrong with that industrial model. But when you work with a small mixed family farm, of course, you have the opportunity in many, many cases today to actually go out and make sure the chickens are outside, the pigs are outside, and so on. And when it is a small farm, Tom, always keep in mind that these small family farms don't have a lot of money. So they're not going to be spending a lot of money on a lot of drugs and a lot of pesticides and herbicides and so on, right? That's the big money is more so with the farms, the bigger farms, where they're spending that kind of money on those types of products. It's not going to really be as prevalent on a small farm.
So this afternoon, you're talking to a group of women in the Woodstock area about the big lies that food companies tell us. So what in terms of what's the biggest lie? What's the biggest lie that they tell us?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to go over several lies. But I think the one that bothers me the most, Tom, is the claims. The claims that the food industry is making in and around the alleged health benefits of using their products. So if we look at things like boxed cereal, fiber, margarine, orange juice, you know, all of these incredibly highly processed synthetic newfangled foods. And you look at the labels or the claims made about these products. Of course, none of them is true. None of the claims that they make is true. And unfortunately, it's even worse than that, because not only are their claims not true, in many respects, these are the foods that are contributing to a lot of health problems today. So you look at margarine, for example. I mean, a lot of people think that eating margarine is going to protect their heart, when it's actually the opposite that is true. So Dr. Fred Kumerow, Andy and I interviewed him here in London last week. He's 99 years old, Tom, and he has been warning us about margarine and these synthetic oils and fats in general in the marketplace now since the 1950s. Since the 1950s, he's been shouting from the rooftops, telling us not to eat those synthetic oils and fats. And this is a man who wakes up in the morning and he has his eggs for breakfast. He eats his butter and he eats his red meat happily. He does no fear over eating these foods. And the man is 99 years young and he's still publishing scientific papers and doing research at this very, very senior age. He's an amazing man.
What's interesting as well, and I think did we talk about it last time, that sales of butter to margarine, butter sales actually are up and margarine sales are down. I don't know how many years in a row, but it's almost butter exceeded margarine for the first time in a number of years recently, didn't it?
It has, and I think people are starting to catch on. This is a part of a new wave of conscientious consumers who are doing their due diligence and questioning things like these bogus claims that big food or the industrial food supply is making. So we have to take a step back, Tom, when we hear these types of claims, even in and around things like fiber and box cereal, for example. These box cereals, I think we've talked about it before. I mean, you're better off eating the box than you are the actual cereal. They're not as healthy as they claim to be. Fiber, you know, medicinal fiber, unfortunately, it's really, really hard on the digestive system. It's not going to help you in terms of enhancing your digestion in the long run. The thing that we need for good digestion, of course, is high-quality animal fat and animal protein. That's what our digestive systems are designed for, not all of this medicinal fiber that is being touted on the marketplace today.
I don't want to go off track, so let's move on. What else in terms of what are you going to talk about today in terms of the lies that the big food is telling us?
Well, you know, other things about the differences in terms of the quality of the meat that we're buying, for example, you know, meat and dairy, for example. When you buy your foods from a local farm where the animals are outside on pasture, you're going to get a more nutrient-dense food. So you're going to get more of the fat-soluble vitamins in the fat. You're going to get more minerals in the food. You're just going to get a much more rich product in terms of the nutritional profile. And when you buy chicken, Tom, one of my other pet peeves is when you buy chicken and even beef, and it says it's been raised on grain. You see that all the time in the grocery store, right? And they tout it as being a good thing that a chicken has been raised on grain or a cow has been raised on corn. But this is not what you want. You don't want to buy chicken that has been raised on only grain and cows that have been force-fed things like corn. This is not healthy. You know, chickens are not a vegetarian. Chickens should be outside eating the bugs and the worms, and you should be benefiting from eating that chicken or its egg, because it's been out in eating these worms and bugs and so on, and you want to get the nutrition that the chicken would have derived from that. So be careful when you're in the grocery store, and they glorify this notion that grain feeding is a good thing. It's not a good thing.
One of the things that's interesting as well, now you're talking to farmers, so they know, they've raised animals, they know animal husbandry, they know, you know, caring for animals and what work it is. Is there, down in London, because here we're divided, are you allowed to keep chickens in the backyard?
No, that they tried to pass for that, and okay. it didn't pass.
We tried in St. Catharines, but in Niagara Falls you can. So Niagara Falls, you can keep chickens. And I'm just wondering, in terms of, people who keep chickens, most of them, it's like, yeah, I feed my chickens all sorts of things. You know, the information about chicken feeding in terms of, what do you give chickens? And it's like, yeah, you know what? Most commonly, they're like, yeah, they eat grain. And it's like, yeah, they eat a lot more than grain.
That's right. Yeah, the concept is people think that that's what will sustain a chicken is just feeding it grain. Some grain, yes, obviously, but you want them out also scavenging around for the worms and the bugs as well.
Yeah.
Really, truly healthy.
All right, we got 2 minutes left. So anything else you want to squeeze in?
I think another thing that I'm really concerned about, of course, is how they lure children in and all of the sexy color, you know, the mascots, all of those types of things that bring children into the food supply, into this highly, highly adulterated food supply. I really very, very upset, of course, still by the deceitful marketing ploys that they use to bring our children in. And even things like, here we have the Olympics, which is supposed to represent health, and who is one of their main sponsors but Coca-Cola. So this notion of mascots and sponsorships and so on, it really irks me to see all that happen. I mean, if you really want to be healthy, if you really want your children to be healthy, they need to be hearing messages about eating high-quality butter, meat, eggs, hopefully farm-fresh raw dairy. Those are really your gold standards in food if you want to be a really top athlete. In fact, when you look at the work of Dr. Weston A. Price, and when he studied primitive cultures, the top athletes in these villages and tribes were the ones who were eating and training on foods like raw cream, farm-fresh raw cream, not Gatorade or any of those types of, you know, really unhealthy products.
All right, final question from Jay in Unionville. Hi, Tom. What's the deal with extra, extra lean ground beef? Can't even find regular ground beef anymore, and it seems like a cash grab. Jay in Unionville. I never get extra. I just get ground beef.
If you can't get, you know, fatty beef, then what you're going to have to do is get some lard or get some butter and just add it to the meat.
What about grinding my own meat?
There's another option.
All right.
Yeah, so you want to make sure your meat is fatty because it's that fat, it's the animal fat that helps you absorb the protein and the minerals.
Pam, good luck today. I know you'll be well received, but good luck.
Break a leg, right?
Break a leg. You've done this before. You'll be fine. Enjoy your time out in Woodstock.
And I am teaching my nutrition classes in London starting this Saturday as well, so it's about all of this subject.
For more information, you can always go to your website, pamcolleen.com. If you missed it, send me a text or send me an email. I'll direct you to the right spot. pamcolleen.com. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, my dear. Take care.
You too. 10:58 is our time. This is News Talk 610 CKTV.